Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And that is that. The New York Knicks, the eighth-seeded New York Knicks, are one game away from the NBA Finals.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Like the 90s. I mean, obviously it is. More like 95, 96 though, but still takes us back. I still like hearing all the rejoins, Salt-N-Pepa, the 90s music, as we are in the middle of the Garden Party. Rangers tonight, big game six. Knicks tomorrow. Looking forward to a couple of Eastern Conference Finals because that's where we're going. There is no way the Rangers are losing four straight. Not with this team. So all you haters out there, all you doubters, especially Ranger fans, you need to be more like the guy who called a half hour ago. Him and his four buddies heading down to Carolina. Nothing could be finer than to be stuck in a car on the way to Carolina and see the Rangers. That's what it's all about. I believe in this team. I still believe in this team. I believe in Igor. And they just got to go out there and give a supreme effort, which they have every time they've been in this spot all year long. That's like both of these teams. And, you know, a couple of guys are on me, oh, you're so positive about these two teams. You lose, you move on, you win, they're the best. Well, right now, I mean, it's hard not to be positive about these two teams and what they've done. The Rangers have been the best team in the NHL all year. They won the first seven games of the postseason. And then they lose two games to a very good team, and suddenly all the momentum is on the other. Oh, Carolina has all the momentum. How do you expect to turn that around? I don't know. How did Carolina turn around all the momentum the Rangers had when they went up 3-0? Carolina can do it. The Rangers can't. And then with the Knicks, as we get ready for Game 6 on Friday in Indiana, how do you not, like, with what they're doing and who they're doing it with in the league full of stars? As we're watching Luka Doncic do what he's done to bring, you know, Dallas on the verge of getting to a Western Conference Finals. And obviously Luka Doncic. I mean, he's... And I already said Luka Doncic, sorry. Jokic. Like, look what these stars do in this league. It's a star-driven league. And yes, they found one, and him and four, and I hate to call them role players at this point, but for lack of a better term, what we thought would be bench players and role players, and Jalen Brunson are on the verge of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on a Boston team that, you know what? Yes, they've won these series, but they've done it against teams that have kind of obviously been injured, and obviously Spider Mitchell didn't play in the game last night, and obviously Butler wasn't there for Miami, and this game, even without Mitchell, came down to the final moments. Like, I don't know about this Boston team. And yeah, they're missing Porzingis, but they've gotten to this point and have really had a tough time getting further. And while I think everyone would expect Boston to be the favorite in that series and expect to win that series and probably think it's just all too much for the Knicks to get past, but hey, it's been all too much to deal with the injury of losing Randle. It's all too much now to deal with the injury to OG Anunoby. It's all too much with the minutes they've played. It's all too much. It's all too much. And yet it's still not enough to keep this Knicks team down. So the Garden Party is alive and well. Rangers tonight, Knicks tomorrow. Still extremely confident in both of them. And I'll tell you what, even if Game 6 go in the opposite direction, I would still be confident that they will win at Madison Square Garden. There is no way, Even having lost three in a row for the Rangers, they're 8-1 lifetime Madison Square Garden Game 7. And they are not beating Igor and this Ranger team four consecutive times. I don't care what happens in Carolina. I think the Rangers have an absolutely great opportunity to go in there and win. They've proven they can win in that building. I believe they can win in that building. As long as the penalty kill is still the penalty kill, where it's been that dominant and literally getting more scoring chances than giving up scoring chances. And as long as Igor is Igor behind those pipes, between those pipes, I definitely think they can win this game. But even if not, there is no way in hell they are losing Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. Same thing for the Knicks. It's not going to happen. So we spent a lot of time on that. We spent a little bit of time on baseball. Ha, 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 all you idiots who thought Judge was done, that there was a real problem with Judge, because he is on fire. Four extra base hits, a 470-foot home run, absolute moonshot to the third deck at Target Field as they pound Minnesota yet again, which has become a common refrain over the last handful of years, dating back to 02. And he is the absolute driving force of the team. It's not Juan Soto. The best player on this team is not Juan Soto. It's never been Juan Soto. It'll never be Juan Soto, at least not for hopefully, you know, however many years until Judge retires and Juan Soto's still playing because he's 6 years younger. And hopefully signs a long-term deal with the Yankees, because we love Juan Soto, and he's been great, and he was the driving force of the early start that they got off to. But this team was never going to be what it could be offensively without Judge. He is the driving force of this team. He's their best player. He's their captain. And it's no surprise that we've seen Gleyber Torres come out of it a little bit. We've seen Rizzo come out of it a little bit. And quietly going about their business because of all the Ranger and Nick hype. Quietly going about their business, playing the best baseball they've played all year, the offense having its best go of it that they've had all year, and it's no surprise that in that time frame, Judge has a 1.3 OPS, hitting 350 over his last eight games, absolutely mashing the baseball and leading this team to the best record in the American League, and then the Mets, as we did a little bit of baseball to start this show, because we haven't had a chance to in forever, the Mets, another disastrous loss. Now, three in a row to Philadelphia. They've lost it in every which way, whether it's blowing leads with their elite closer late in the game, whether it's the offense being just completely shut down. And then last night, just ugly, hideous baseball where they're kicking the ball around. McNeil makes a diving catch and then doesn't realize that, you know, the Phillies version of Giancarlo Stanton's running to first. He rushes it. He throws it away. Lindor can't turn a double play. And early on, they had the benefit of Philadelphia making the mistakes, and still they can't do it. The starting pitching has been good, but the bugaboo is walking hitters, and they have an inning where he walks three guys, Lucchese, and then you can't get through the middle of that lineup. It's too good, and they end up getting beat up for the third consecutive game. They lost 2 out of 3 to Atlanta. Now they've lost at least 3 out of 4, looking to salvage the final game later today. And then if you didn't see the owner in the middle of this game commenting on a story on a Mets fan page about blow it up. And the comment is, well, this is all for the future. We can't do anything until the trade deadline. So where are the Mets? I don't know, but I can tell you that while this team continues to fade, while this offense continues to be hideous and about as streaky as any offense in the league, with guys like Lindor, Alonso, the terrible Jeff McNeil, even, you know, Marte, who's been streaky, as you watch this team slowly fade, and what we knew going into the season with a new GM and a new strategy and someone who just wanted to tip his toes in the water of the organization to get a feel, well, what kind of feel are you giving this GM? What kind of feel are you giving this owner? And what can we expect come trade deadline time? Are they going to help bolster this team? Or is it, hey, I don't know if we can move forward with this group. So it's not so much what I think about the Mets or what you think about the Mets. Right now, it's in question what the GM and what the owner think about this Mets group. He took that tweet down within 15 minutes, but it speaks volumes. Can't do anything right now. This is all for the future. Have to wait till the trade deadline. To a story about blowing it up. With Pete Alonso set to hit free agency and asking for 9 years, according to Sandy Alderson, I mean, considering all the money coming off the books for pitchers who aren't even here right now, might make sense to clean house, hit attack free agency in a different way, attack this organization in a different way. Let some of these young prospects that you've been hoarding come up and try and make an impact with this team. Are you going to try and let Vientos, who's the only guy hitting, come up and you know, stop playing out in Triple A and come up here and hopefully make an impact offensively, which he did in the first inning, which he did on a walk-off home run against St. Louis? The only problem is he's terrible at third base. So you're hurting your defense when you play him. You're hurting your offense when you play Beatty. Right now, the Mets are a complete mess and have been absolutely just dominated by their division rivals in the Atlanta Braves and the Phillies over the last handful of days. So that's where we are. That's a recap of everything going on, plus the NFL schedule. The Jets are on track to make it to the AFC Championship game, and the Giants have screwed us again. The NFL has screwed us, Giant fans, again, forcing us to watch another game on Thanksgiving when I should just be with my family, stuffing my face with turkey. You got it? All right. Andrew in Scarsdale. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Big Mac. Hey. It's in the afternoons, but it's happy to talk to you. You're killing it so far. Mac,
thank you.
Stuff. It always struck me as a bit stuffy and obnoxious that Mara was so insistent that you'd never see the Giants on Hard Knocks.
I agree. I agree.
I can't wait. I'm fascinated. I'm pumped that it's going to happen. You hit the nail on the head. It's a pretty, in a lot of ways, they couldn't have picked a better offseason in terms of the story. You know, you've got a team a little bit in flux. You've got some major storylines, you know, the Barkley decision, the McKinney decision, where they're going to go with the draft. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting much from the Giants this year anyway. Was going to watch. Obviously, I'm a fan. But yeah, you know what? This kind of pumped a little bit of life into my fandom this year. I can't wait for it personally.
Yeah, no, listen, Andrew, I'm with you. I think, you know, having an opportunity to get a look at how the organization runs and the people making decisions to get a fly-on-the-wall type view of how they handle business in a different way than what we typically see from Hard Knocks, I think, yeah, I mean, to possibly, and I guess, you know, we're going to see it, it's from January to July, to see them on some level debate what to do with Saquon Barkley and where to draw the line and what contract to offer, the trade for Burns, also letting go of McKinney and deciding not to give him a contract, all the consternation of the draft and the quarterback position and their real beliefs on Daniel Jones. And this is what I'll tell you right now. And you can lock it to the bank. I don't think that makes sense. You can take it to the bank. Don't lock it. You can lock it in the bank with a safety deposit box, I suppose. But you could take it to the bank. I will get a phone call from you-know-who is going to boast about, or and a bunch of guys who want to call me because I've been anti-Daniel Jones. There is no way in hell you are going to catch an executive, a coach, Shane or Dable, or anyone even close to their inner circle, or anyone who works, or anyone who will be on camera on this thing bad-mouthing Daniel Jones. I find it very hard. They will not do that. They will not do that. You're not going to hear anyone. Maybe they'll talk up a quarterback in the draft, maybe. But I think they will down. I find it hard to believe they would be willing to badmouth Daniel Jones. I think they probably went out of their way to make sure it didn't get on camera because he's their quarterback and they're not going to do it. So we're going to get a lot of people who think, see, I told you, Chris, they do have belief in Daniel Jones. You see, they've always planned on having Daniel Jones be their quarterback. They're not worried about the injury. They know he's a winner. They know he took him to the playoffs. Yeah. Okay. You believe that. I promise you. That is going to be a talking point of this show. Obviously, Daniel Jones is a huge factor of the team. The quarterback is obviously the most important position, and the nature of him and the injury and the lack of success and the one playoff year and the playoff game in Minnesota, all of it rolled into one, has created a very precarious quarterback situation that I feel they need to move on from desperately. And I think there's a lot of people in that room who agree, just didn't believe the quarterback existed in this draft, at least not for them at six. But I find it very hard to believe you're going to hear anything but positive things about Daniel Jones because he's their guy, and especially with the way Mara is so against it. Can you imagine right before training camp or right before things get started, the final episode is the draft or something along those lines, and it's nothing but like bad-mouthing Daniel Jones, or the so much comes out of this coach not liking Daniel Jones, and we need to move on from Daniel Jones, heading right into the season where Daniel Jones is the quarterback? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Daniel and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on today?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm very good. Like I said, it's the last time I'm calling, but I'll be back.
Oh, that's right. You're going to get married.
The day after Memorial Day, and I won't be up early because I won't be working. So
right.
So.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, so, good luck. Hope everything goes great. Enjoy the day. Hopefully you get nice weather, all of it.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the Rangers, you know, because that's what I mainly call for.
Mm-hmm.
So game six is tonight, you know.
I just feel
like, you know, they got to continue what they did in the first three games. I feel like it's going to be very similar to game three, where it was a close game, like a 3-2 on the six goals.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They'll beat them on the penalty kill, power play. I feel like it's going to be close. I hope it's not an overtime game, but I think it's going to be a great game, and I just hope they're good on the hits. You know, minimize the penalties, and I'm just excited for tonight's game. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, listen, Danny, and again, congratulations. I hope you enjoy everything about the day. Danny's getting married. Good luck to him. But yeah, listen, I don't disagree with you. I expect it to be a tight game. I don't think either way. I would be, if the Rangers bring the same effort they brought in game five and get beat up, now I'm forced to question the team. Now I'm forced to get off my, not this team, not with this goalie. I have to get off that if they're going to get embarrassed in this game. So I don't think there's any way it's going to be a big-time, you know, loss for the Rangers. And I don't think Carolina, the way they're playing right now, I agree. I think it's going to be a one-goal game, as almost every game in this series has been, except the last one. I expect this to be a really close game. I expect there's a very good chance it goes to overtime. Like, these two teams are incredibly even. Incredibly even. That's why the 3-0 was shocking. To take a 3-0 lead on this team was shocking. And as much as it sucks to now put themselves in a position where they're, you know, a road loss away from losing three in a row, I'm honestly, if you told me what's more surprising, that the Rangers will take a 3-0 lead or that once they have it, they'll still have to play a game six, I will without question tell you, oh, I'd be more surprised if the Rangers get out to a 3-0 lead. Honestly, because getting out to a 3-0 lead is more than I would have expected. I mean, that's three in a row as opposed to two in a row. Like, now, if they lose this game, then yes, it's all equal. But I just think they're going to come out. It's going to be a hard-fought game. To me, things have to change, yes, but my main, and I know they still lost with this happening, but my fear is that their biggest strength right now, the penalty kill, won't be as good. Like, that's what, of all the things that need to change, because they did lose the last two games, and as much as you need Panarin, and you need more scoring, and you need more offensive attack, and you need more shots on goal, and you need more shoot the puck, and you need more this, you need more that, totally, you need more just coming out with intensity. No doubt. All of that needs to be added. But my biggest fear is what they've managed to maintain will be lost, because that penalty kill is so important. It's been so dominant. Carolina has been unable to get anything going. They've gotten more scoring chances than giving up scoring chances. Like, that has been such a strength for them that if that fades away and they score two, if they score a power play goal in each of the first two periods, I'll just feel it won't, that will scare me more than, hey, they still haven't gotten many chances 5-on-5. Hey, they still haven't really gotten their power play going. If the penalty kill falters, I feel like that's their biggest strength, and I'm big in these series that your strength needs to be your strength. And this entire series, that's been their biggest strength. I don't want to see that change. So they need to add a bunch. They need to add a bunch of offensive stuff, but they can't give up that part of their game that has been so critical to them winning. Yes, they've lost two in a row, but you go back to the three they've won. It's been goaltending and the penalty kill. I mean, it was 15-0 after three games. After three games, they had 15 power plays, zero goals. The Rangers had one shorthanded goal. It was 1-0, and they had 15 opportunities. That's what got them this lead. And that's what needs to stay. With all the things that need to change, that's one thing that needs to remain. There he is. There's the guy I was talking about. What's up, Brett?
Chris, I know you care what I think, so... You know, I'm going to evaluate today's show. I'll grade it, you know. I'm gonna
You'll grade
you
my
A
show?
Today. Yeah, I'm going to give you an A today, believe it or not.
Okay,
and,
that's fine. I appreciate it.
I'm going to give you an A.
I mean, I care your opinion on Daniel Jones, I suppose, or caller, well, you know. But the grade of the show, we'll see. I'll take the
some
A.
Some of us have to... Some of us to you, believe it or not, so... We make it part of our daily drive, you know.
Well, I know.
You go for years listening to you.
I guess that's a lot of these shows. That's
man.
The plan. But so, yes, radio is very intimate. It's just me and you in the car. How are you? You doing
so,
well?
So, you know, this is my mindset. I'm going to get to Dan Jones, but the Knicks, you know, you came full circle now. You're buying into them. I understood where you were coming from with the injuries, but who cares? It doesn't make sense anymore. But sometimes
you
could sit there, statistics, put everything on paper. Everybody knows it all. And then look what happens. The Knicks are winning by 30 points the last game, right?
100%.
So they have heart, and they are playing defense now, and that's what they always did. So you're giving them that. And then the Celtics don't look unbeatable, but we'll worry about this game. Then the Rangers. They're up 3-0. We talked about they were the best team all year long. You know, Shesterkin turned it around. But now all these fans are like, think, oh, look what happened last year. Look what happened against the Devils, right? They're talking about last year. They forget it. Like, they just go into negative mode. And like you're saying,
so quickly.
Just get the one more, right?
Yeah.
And then the last thing is Daniel Jones. You know, you poked the bear. I don't even know why we're starting to talk about it. But I want to make sure that everybody hears, everybody knows me. Daniel Jones, I've been fighting everybody. I don't even have any support anymore, honestly. Daniel Jones is going to lead the Giants to the playoffs. I'm telling you. I've had his support back from day one. I'm not jumping off that. And when he does, Chris, you know, you're going to be...
Well, I want to ask you, because this... Well, let me ask you a question, because this... I never go back at you with this question, because you go, well, if they win this year and Daniel Jones is good, will you admit that you were wrong? And I go, okay, well, let me ask you a question. If he loses again or gets hurt again, are you going to give me this, I still have his back one more year, he's under contract, or are you going to admit you were wrong? When do you have to admit you're wrong? Because it sounds like after one good year, I have to admit I'm wrong. But Daniel Jones can have crappy year after crappy year after crappy year, and yet you don't ever have to admit you're wrong. So at the end of this year, if he's lousy and they don't win and he's hurt again and Locke ends up having 5-6 starts this year, are you wrong?
Yeah, this will be the last opportunity I give him. But remember this, even if he never played again, he did. The Giants have been absolutely atrocious, right?
Yes.
We all agree with that. They're a bad product. They're
of
not
course.
The Giants we grew up to love. And they've become one of the worst teams in the NFL, it's hard to believe. But guess what? Somehow with all that garbage, and I don't care what you say about how many touchdowns, this and that, he led. He was part of one of the most successful seasons we had for a while. So
but he's also the face of the ugly. You can't just tell me he did something no one could imagine doing with that miserable team. He's the face of the miserable team. He's the quarterback of all those terrible years. Like, come on. But somehow he managed to win one season, and somehow he managed to be awful every other year. And he was awful last year, and he's been hurt every single year. We've had this discussion a bunch. I just wanted to get your opinion on if finally you'll... Because it feels like the Daniel Jones supporters always get, well, he doesn't have this, one more year. One more year. And then if he ever plays well for a little bit, suddenly like, see, I told you. So it's so quick where the people who are against Daniel Jones, or at least, I don't want to say against, because I don't think he's a bum. I'm not saying he's a bum. I'm saying he's not very good. He's not good enough to get you where you want to go, in my opinion. He's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Unless he's surrounded by just an impeccable roster. Otherwise, he can't lead you there. He cannot mess up along the way, but he can't lead you there. But not only that, he's injured all the freaking time. I mean, and when I say all the time, I mean like all the time. So, like, those two things, and that still doesn't prove it. The proof hasn't been made yet. He still gets another year and another year and another year. Eventually, the Daniel Jones supporters, which, as you fully admitted, Brett, are starting to wane at least a little bit and dwindle and fall off. But if you're out there, there's no ever deadline for them. They can consistently get another year. He had one good winning season. He doesn't throw touchdown passes. He doesn't score points.
Oh, look at the rest of the roster.
Well, I can throw that back at you, too. If the rest of the roster is so terrible, and he can't win with it, it's so bad, what do you expect him to do? Well, how come the 1 year he got them to the playoffs? Why can't he take that roster to the playoffs every year? It's either too bad to win or good enough to win, and he's just not doing it, one or the other.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:33, McMonagle here with you. 877-337-6666. I did just want to say one thing. I was yelling about Daniel Jones. It got me, heated, and it made me think of all the other things that annoy me. And you know how I feel about Tom Brady. And I just want to do it real quick because I want to move on to the calls. But I had to get it in today. The idea, and it boggles my mind, this guy. I'm serious. I don't know why this guy annoys me so much. And as a Giant fan, I get it. We beat him. I shouldn't harbor any ill will, but I do. I don't know why. I think it's because it was the overarching theme around the NFL was it felt like, well, it's not really a season unless Tom Brady and the Patriots are in the AFC Championship game. We need him. We need that. And I was just tired of him. And now it continues to just grow tiresome. And he does this roast, and now he's complaining about it. And I said at the time, I'm like, why are you doing this? They're going to rip apart your life, man. You just got divorced. What do you think they're going to say about your ex-wife? What do you think they're going to say about you walking out on your first girlfriend with a kid and all? Like, you know this is going to... And now it's like, well, I really... How it affected my family, I didn't see coming. You're an idiot. I mean, how could you not? Why would you do this? You think they're going to pay you millions of dollars to come up and go, oh, you're so handsome, I want to punch your face. And now we get our next guy. Like, what do you think they were going to do? The guy just drives me nuts. We have an entire Fox special based around the idea what game he's going to do first. I mean, it never ends with Tom Brady. It never ends. I don't know why it bothers me, but it does. And then he does this roast, and by the grace of God, it's really funny. Because I thought it was going to be stupid. Because I thought he would probably say, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. On some level, I was worried about what kind of roast it was going to be. It ended up being funnier than I thought it was going to be. And I actually came on and said, you know what? I have to admit, it was funny. And he handled it fine. I don't understand why he does this, why he needed to do this and embarrass his family and say all these things. And then he comes out a couple days later and goes, yeah, you know, I really wish I would have done it. Yeah. Come on. How ridiculous does this guy sound? Oh, I don't know what it is. I can't take the guy from his stupid diet to his retiring, unretiring, to his, you know, everything. Throwing the trophy around on a drunken boat ride after the championship in Tampa Bay. Like, everything about this guy bothers me. I don't know why, but it does. Then he does this roast, and then, well, I mean, I really wasn't expecting it to impact my family like this. No, your wife is pissed at you, clearly. She left because you love football more than her. You know, I mean, what did you think they were going to say, and how did you think she was going to be okay with it? It's not like you're on, I'm sure you're on amicable terms, but like, are you on great terms? People. Maury in Belmore, what's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night.
Tonight is your night, bro. What is up, Maury?
Two things about, first on the roast. The best thing about the roast, and I already knew about Nikki Glaser with Nikki Glaser. But now all my friends were like, did you see her? I go, guys, she's been around forever. She was great.
Yeah, she was tremendous.
She ripped them apart. I think that was the best.
And apparently her career is about to, like, take off. She said,
timed,
like,
it perfectly.
She timed it perfectly. And it's a, you know, it was a big deal, and she nailed it, so.
Yeah, she definitely nailed it. She's great. She's been around. She's been on Howard a lot, so I've been following her. She's great. So That's that. Let me talk quickly about where I think the Rangers will be. Tonight they'll win. It'll be like a 4-1 game, and they'll take it home. They'll rest. That's good. But what I wanted to talk about is what's going on with the judge. I love what you said. Quietly, what's going on, they continue to just do what they need to do, get their job done. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we need. Just leave them alone. Let them do what they need to do. We'll check back in September. But I love what they're doing.
I love what
the pitching's doing. You know who's the great? Who's the best closer in the game right now?
I do know who the best closer
in
the game is.
With 0.0. Did we give up when the Russians bombed Pearl Harbor? Or the Germans, right? Wasn't that from Animal House?
Yes, when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, yeah.
My point is this. We look pretty damn good, and I just want to stay focused. I'm very happy about the team in the Bronx. Very excited about the team.
Yeah, no, Maury, they've been great, and thanks for the call. Tonight is your night, bro. Yeah, and Judge has been amazing, and you're right, the bullpen and Clay Holmes, and think about all the different things that were said, like, about this team. It's I always find it funny. Because, like, oh, the rotation, I mean, geez, how can you expect to win with this rotation? You got to go get Blake Snell. I mean, if they care about winning, they go get Blake Snell. And I even fell into it for a moment there after the Cole injury. But they're doing just fine. Oh, man, the bullpen stinks. You got to go out and, you know, how do you not sign Hader? How do you not add a closer to this bullpen? They're going to have to go attack the bullpen in the trade deadline. Well, you know, it's the best bullpen in the American League, and Clay Holmes hasn't given up a run. Oh, you know, yeah, sure. After the great start, they're 8-10 over the last 18 games. The offense is terrible. It's the same thing. Glaber stinks. You know, Rizzo stinks. Stanton can't even run the bases. The catchers stink. It's the worst combination of catchers in the league. How can you not tell? The offense is the same place it was in 2013 and last year. It's a miserable team that just can't score runs. They're awful. And now Judge has awoken and clearly is the driving force of the team. And that's really my point, is yes, he's back, and you knew he would be. But the best thing about Judge, the important thing about Judge is watch the team. As much as Juan Soto had an impact early on, and he definitely does, and having that left-handed hitter in the middle of the lineup to hit in front of Judge and his ability to get on base, he's incredible, and I hope he's the Yankee for the next 15 years. He's tremendous. Judge is the driving force of the team. The Yankees won't be the Yankees unless Judge is hitting. And you're seeing it. They're playing their best baseball. Rizzo's opened up a little bit. Stanton has been doing the same. Even Glaber's come out of it a little bit with this. Judge doing what he did last night, 4 extra base hits, a 470-foot home run. That's the driving force of the team, not Juan Soto. Their best player, their leader, the man who makes them go, is Aaron Judge. Nobody else. No matter how good anybody else may be, no matter how much money anybody else makes, the driving force of the team and the best hitter is Aaron Judge. Real quick, Paul in Long Island. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, Yeah, I'm a diehard Jets fan my whole life. But the you know, when you mentioned Tom Brady, as his career started to wind down, I really appreciated the guy more than ever. He beat the Jets so many times. I get that. But the you know, you mentioned the roast in his career. I mean, I know you don't like the guy, but it's you got to appreciate the greatness of this guy for what he accomplished. He went to, I think, 10 Super Bowls,
yes.
And won 7. I mean, the roast's stupid. I get it. He should have never did it. But at the end of the day, I think the guy's trying to hold on to the lasting legacy of his 7 Super Bowls.
The good idea to hold on to a lasting legacy, Paul, is to sit in a dais and have everybody pick apart your life. I'm really glad he held on to it. Because you know what? A guy who wins the amount of Super Bowls he won and been to the amount of Super Bowls he's been to, I'm surprised he did it. But having said that, it was relatable that he was willing to bring himself down to that. But then don't complain afterwards. Then just own it. Like, yeah, I did a roast. I signed up for this. I probably wouldn't do it again. But, like, you know, I don't know. It's just, and again, it's just, I don't need Tom Brady in my life. It felt like that. It felt like, and then every year he gets to the AFC Championship, it's the same thing. It's him and Belichick, the greatest quarterback coach combination of all time. And then he goes and wins a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. How could you knock Tom Brady the player? He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's the best winner in NFL history. How could I argue it? It just felt like I'm just oversaturated with him. That's all. I'm oversaturated with Tom Brady. It's too much. Too much Brady in my life. I don't need it. And I will say this, because I mean it. I don't know if he's considered the greatest football player of all time. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback, which is the most important position. So let's just say, for argument's sake, he's the greatest NFL player of all time. In my opinion, I would say that he is the least talented, greatest player of their sport. Like, Wayne Gretzky is far more talented. Michael Jordan, far more talented. Babe Ruth or Barry Bonds in his prime for baseball or whatever you want to say, far more talented. He's just extremely talented and was put in a perfect situation and had the knack for making the big play in the big moment. But as like far as real talent, and unbelievable, Jordan far more unbelievable. Wayne Gretzky, forget about it, far more unbelievable. Tom Brady was just really, really good on a really good team with a really good coach and always had the knack for making the big play, which makes him the best. I'm not denying that. But I just got to throw it in there real quick.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 448. In the land of confusion. McMonagle here with the 877-337-6666. I was just telling Eddie Scazzeria in the newsroom, a funny story. As we're talking about the Giants schedule, he asked me if I'm excited. I have a feeling he knew I wasn't. If I was excited about the Giants playing on Thanksgiving. And I'm not. I hate the Giants playing on holidays. And last year was the worst with Christmas. And now, I guess it's open every year, right? And Netflix is going to have these Christmas games every year. So I guess now we have to worry about that. But I was telling him a funny story, and I haven't had a chance to tell Marash this. But I'm still pissed at him because last year the Giants were on Christmas Day and my wife wasn't thrilled about it. You know, I'm going to watch the Giant game. I'm just going to have to do it. Like, it's what I do. So I watched the game. She doesn't say anything to me. She was great about it. Didn't say a word to me. Didn't complain. I mean, she made me, I was aware she wasn't happy before the day started, but ultimately was great about it. Didn't say a word to me. The next day, we took the kids as part of the Christmas present for them. We went to a live house show at Madison Square Garden for WWE. So we're driving to Madison Square Garden in the car, and Sean was hosting solo. I don't remember why. I mean, I guess they were off day after Christmas. Sean's in. And Sean is going on and on about how he hated watching the Giants on Christmas. And he's like, I couldn't do this. I had to get up. I didn't have a conversation with anybody. And as he's going on about it, all of a sudden my wife's like, do you know you didn't say a word to my parents? We had that whole, do you remember the conversation about the thing we said about possible vacation? Were you even there for that? I was like, I don't know. And then she like, and you didn't even eat at the table. It was just ridiculous. And I'm like, why are we having this conversation now? It was yesterday. We're over it. You didn't say a word. You didn't say a word all morning. Nothing. We're done with it. And then Marash starts yapping his mouth about it. And suddenly Marash got involved in my marriage and now I'm arguing with my wife. So I hope no one's listening right now and you're getting into a prospective argument about the possibility of what's going to happen on Thanksgiving. If you're listening, if for whatever reason you and your wife, maybe you're driving to Carolina, getting ready for game 6 for the Rangers. Don't worry about it. When Thanksgiving gets here, then you can argue about it. But yes, I'm driving to Madison Square Garden the day after Christmas. Everything was great. Not a word from her. I know it's a pain. I hate it. I wasn't there for the conversation she's talking about. I was sitting in front of the TV. She's 100% right, and I feel bad about it. But we went through a whole day. It was over. And then Marash is talking about all the things he did and didn't do, and suddenly she's like, you're right. You did the same things. I'm like, oh, God. Joe in Brooklyn, what's up, Joe?
Chris, what's going on? I've calmed down in the last 48 hours.
I know that was. It was a tough loss. They were. That was as bad a performance as they've given Ranger fans in a while. Certainly throughout the playoffs, even probably further than that. It's hard to imagine coming out that flat. Game 5, Madison Square Garden. It's hard to imagine.
I know, Chris.
Yes,
you had a caller earlier who said, about the pessimistic Ranger fans.
Mm-hmm.
My only response to that is, yes, it happened in 22. It happened in 23. If it happens in 24, when do you say, or when do you come to terms that this core group of guys is not going to get it done? And yeah. I hope it don't happen. I really hope. I really hope that they give me a nice night. Last night was a beautiful night. I had no Knicks, no Rangers. I went to sleep at a early
I know. It's bizarre not to have it. But I will tell, and Joe, I've said the same thing. One, I agree with that caller, and I think the pessimism from Ranger fans right now is, to me, at least what I've experienced. I haven't talked to every Ranger fan, but the ones who have engaged me on social media or called the show a lot or who I hear on the airwaves, I'm surprised at the amount of pessimism about this team. I know what happened the previous years. I think this team has been different all year. They lost two games to a very good team. They still have a 3-2 lead heading into game 6. I would be, and I am, very confident that they're going to win one of these next two games. Even if they lose game 6, I will be confident that they are going to win game 7 in Madison Square Garden. I just am. Until they don't, I believe they will. Now, to your point, I think immediately. When do you start to question this core? Right now. If they lose this series, I think it's fair. If they lose this series and lose 4 straight, including 2 at Madison Square Garden, and drop this series, and if it goes the same way where Panarin isn't involved and guys disappear and the power play folds and all of the things that were going so well for them in the first 7 games completely fall apart and lead to this collapse of epic proportions, you look at the core right away. And I think Chris Drury will.
Absolutely.
And I think Drury will. I'll be telling you, I think major changes are coming if the Rangers lose this series. But I don't want to go there because I don't think they're going to. I really don't. They are going to win this series. But if I'm wrong, and if they lose, and if they lose 4 in a row, and Panarin disappears, and Zibanejad does nothing, and Kreider and Trocheck and Lafreniere and whomever else all do nothing, and the power play goes completely absent, and they get embarrassed, especially in these two games, yes, I think immediately you have to look at the core immediately, because now it's a trend. Now it's 3 consecutive years blowing leads, this one being the worst. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Christopher. What's happening, man?
What's going on, Edward?
How we have a Stewart alert yet? I heard Stewart on the radio last weekend with Pete Hoffman.
I heard he called Pete. Someone told me. So, I'm glad he's okay. I don't know if
Stop acting, man. You guys know what you must have said something to him to get him upset.
I don't know.
You don't know.
If you would stop interrupting, I was literally just about to say, One, I'm glad he's okay. Two, I don't know if I upset him. It sounds, I guess maybe I did. I haven't heard
from
him.
It probably wasn't you. It probably wasn't you, Chris. So don't get all excited. You know who it was. All right, let's not go there.
I have no, right? Eddie, you talk like you're part of the, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. I don't know who you're referring to, who, what was said.
It's all right,
I know,
you don't have to know.
All I know is a regular caller, Stewpot, hasn't called me in a while. If you find that interesting, okay. I'm glad he's okay. He was on with Pete Hoffman. I don't know why he hasn't called me. Maybe I did piss him off. I have no idea. I know.
All right, can we get to the acknowledgement of my Cavalier gentleman's bet that I won clearly, and that the Giants were not going to take a quarterback, and it was all smokescreen. Even moving up, it was only for the offensive tackle. So
I don't agree with that at all.
What do you mean? They had to sign something that they wouldn't go after a quarterback if they moved up. They were not going after a quarterback, and my Cavaliers gentleman's bet is won.
They had, right?
My Cavaliers gentleman bet won?
No. I mean, I don't.
Why?
Eddie, I have no idea what you're talking about. Your Cavaliers gentleman bet, I have no idea. If we had a discussion where you said something would happen and I said it wouldn't, fine. I don't remember making a Cavalier gentleman's bet. And maybe I missed that report. It's possible. I saw the report that was speculation from Schefter that he believed he wasn't even sure they were, when they were looking to trade up, he wasn't even positive they weren't looking to just take a tackle. I do remember that report. I don't remember seeing the Giants were going to have to sign something that they wouldn't take a quarterback. It sounds ridiculous. Maybe it happened. I don't remember it. And I think it's absolutely, as far as I know, without reading that report that sealed your Cavalier gentleman's bet, I don't think for a minute they would trade up and take a tackle. That's why they didn't do it. If they were going to trade up, it was to get Drake May, which I still believe they wanted to do, and then just either couldn't come up with a package good enough for the Patriots to actually make that deal, or it was such a crazy amount of picks and whatever that they didn't want to do it. They didn't deem it worthy. More likely the former, where they just couldn't convince the Patriots. I do still believe that. But you're right. They did not draft a quarterback. I was hoping they would. But at the end, when I was asked, what my gut told me, they were going to not and draft the wide receiver. But your Cavalier gentleman's bet is won, Eddie. Zeth in Deer Park. What's up, Zeth?
Hey, Big Mac. I'm a big fan. You know, these Knicks, man. These Knicks are... I'm watching it. I'm so happy, man. I'm so happy.
They have brought us such joy over the last 2.5 weeks or so. It's just been... And the Rangers, too. Let's not forget the Rangers. Both of them have given us such joy. It's been incredible.
It has been. And, you know, it's even better... Because even when the off season does happen, and I hope it doesn't happen till after the finals, where I hope we win. But even if it does, we have so much cap. We have so many assets that if we wanted to go get Laurie Marketing, they said they wanted 4 picks. We have that. If we wanted to go get Donovan Mitchell, even though a lot of people are putting their names in the hats for that, we have that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the option only do we have the option, we have all these people we can just, DiVincenzo could stay on the bench. Like, we have so much.
No,
it's
I know,
such
but
a bright future.
It is. And Zeth, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just call me hopefully in a month. I don't want to have that conversation right now, but you're not wrong. Part of all this is that they're well run. And you believe in Leon Rose, and you believe on Leon Rose to put the team together and Tibbs to be able to coach it. And that they're as well-run as any organization in New York City, which is hard to fathom considering their history over the last 2 decades plus. But let's not focus on the future. We still have the present. And tonight, the present will consist of a Game 6 in Carolina, Rangers-Hurricanes. Hopefully the Rangers end it tonight. If not, there's a Game 7. And I do have confidence in this team, so let's see what happens. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Alex on the other side. Appreciate the help. Everybody have a good Thursday. Let's go, Rangers. We'll talk tomorrow for a 5-hour Midnight Ride. Midnight. Radio 101.9 FM.
WFNU.